Chapter 124. Only they hadn't time to come to me, and I hadn't power to go to them, and they got tired of my long letters, and dropped the business. And this is God's truth, without one word of suppression or exaggeration, as 50 people, both in this place, and out of it, very well know. Apostrophe, the cobbler paused to ascertain what effect his story had produced on Sam. But finding that he had dropped asleep, knocked the ashes out of his pipe, sighed, put it down, drew the bedclothes over his head, and went to sleep too. Mr. Pickwick was sitting at breakfast, alone. Next morning, Sam being busily engaged in the cobbler's room, polishing his master's shoes and brushing the black gaiters, when there came a knock at the door, which, before Mr. Pickwick could cry, "Come in!" ... was followed by the appearance of a head of hair and a cotton velvet cap, both of which articles of dress he had no difficulty in recognizing as the personal property of Mr. Smangle. "How are you?" ... said that worthy, accompanying the inquiry with a score or two of nods. "I say, do you expect anybody this morning? Three men, devilish gentlemanly fellows, have been asking after you downstairs, and knocking at every door on the hall flight, for which they've been most infernally blown up by the collegians, that had the trouble of opening them. ... Dear me. How very foolish of them," said Mr. Pickwick, rising. "Yes, I have no doubt they are some friends whom I rather expected to see yesterday." ... "Friends of yours?" ... exclaimed Smangle, seizing Mr. Pickwick by the hand. "Say no more. Curse me, they're friends of mine from this minute, and friends of Mivens too. Infernal pleasant, gentlemanly dog, Mivens, isn't he?" ... said Smangle, with great feeling. "I know so little of the gentleman," said Mr. Pickwick, hesitating, "that I know you do," interrupted Smangle, clasping Mr. Pickwick by the shoulder. "You shall know him better. You will be delighted with him. That man, sir," said Smangle, with a solemn countenance, "has comic powers that would do honor to Drury Lane Theater." ... "Has he indeed?" ... said Mr. Pickwick. "Ah, by Jove, he has." ... replied Smangle. "Here him come, the four cats in the wheelbarrow, four distinct cats, sir, I pledge you my honor. Now you know that's infernal clever. Damn, you can't help liking a man when you see these traits about him. He's only one fault, that little failing I mentioned to you, you know." ... as Mr. Smangle shook his head in a confidential and sympathizing manner at this juncture, Mr. Pickwick felt that he was expected to say something, so he said, "Ah." ... and looked restlessly at the door. "Ah." ... echoed Mr. Smangle, with a long-drawn sigh. "He's delightful company, that man is, sir. I don't know better company anywhere. But he has that one drawback. If the ghost of his grandfather, sir, was to rise before him this minute, he'd ask him for the loan of his acceptance on an 8-penny stamp." ... "Dear me." ... exclaimed Mr. Pickwick. "Yes," added Mr. Smangle, "and if he'd the power of raising him again, he would, in 2 months and 3 days from this time, to renew the bill." ... "Those are very remarkable traits," said Mr. Pickwick. "But I'm afraid that while we are talking here, my friends may be in a state of great perplexity at not finding me." ... "I'll show 'em the way," said Smangle, making for the door. "Good day. I won't disturb you while they're here, you know." By the by, as Smangle pronounced the last three words, he stopped suddenly, reclosed the door which he had opened, and, walking softly back to Mr. Pickwick, stepped close up to him on tiptoe, and said, in a very soft whisper, "You couldn't make it convenient to lend me half a crown till the latter end of next week, could you?" apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Pickwick could scarcely forbear smiling, but managing to preserve his gravity, he drew forth the coin, and placed it in Mr. Smangle's palm, upon which, that gentleman, with many nods and winks, implying profound mystery, disappeared in quest of the three strangers, with whom he presently returned, and having coughed thrice, and nodded as many times, as an assurance to Mr. Pickwick that he would not forget to pay, he shook hands all round, in an engaging manner, and at length took himself off. My dear friends, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, shaking hands alternately with Mr. Tupman, Mr. Winkle, and Mr. Snodgrass, who were the three visitors in question, I am delighted to see you. Apostrophe, the triumvirate were much affected. Mr. Tupman shook his head deploringly, Mr. Snodgrass drew forth his handkerchief, with undisguised emotion, and Mr. Winkle retired to the window, and sniffed aloud. Mornin', gen'lmen, apostrophe said Sam, entering at the moment with the shoes and gaiters. Away with melancholy, as the little boy said when his school missus died. Welcome to the college, gen'lmen. Apostrophe this foolish fellow, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, tapping Sam on the head as he knelt down to button up his master's gaiters. This foolish fellow has got himself arrested, in order to be near me. Apostrophe what? Apostrophe apostrophe exclaimed the three friends. Yes, gen'lmen, apostrophe said Sam, I may stand steady, sir, if you please I may prisoner, gen'lmen. Confined, as the lady said. Apostrophe a prisoner. Apostrophe apostrophe exclaimed Mr. Winkle, with unaccountable vehemence. Hollo, sir. Apostrophe apostrophe responded Sam, looking up. What's the matter, sir? Apostrophe, I had hoped, Sam, that nothing, apostrophe said Mr. Winkle precipitately. There was something so very abrupt and unsettled in Mr. Winkle's manner that Mr. Pickwick involuntarily looked at his two friends for an explanation. We don't know, apostrophe said Mr. Tupman, answering this mute appeal aloud. He has been much excited for 2 days past, and his whole demeanor very unlike what it usually is. We feared there must be something the matter, but he resolutely denies it. Apostrophe, no, apostrophe said Mr. Winkle, coloring beneath Mr. Pickwick's gaze. There is really nothing. I assure you there is nothing, my dear sir. It will be necessary for me to leave town, for a short time, on private business, and I had hoped to have prevailed upon you to allow Sam to accompany me. Apostrophe, Mr. Pickwick looked more astonished than before. I think, apostrophe faltered Mr. Winkle, that Sam would have had no objection to do so. But, of course, his being a prisoner here renders it impossible. So I must go alone. Apostrophe, as Mr. Winkle said these words, Mr. Pickwick felt, with some astonishment, that Sam's fingers were trembling at the gaiters, as if he were rather surprised or startled. Sam looked up at Mr. Winkle too, when he had finished speaking, and though the glance they exchanged was instantaneous, they seemed to understand each other. Do you know anything of this, Sam? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick sharply. No, I don't, sir, apostrophe replied Mr. Weller, beginning to button with extraordinary assiduity. Are you sure, Sam? Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. Why, sir, apostrophe responded Mr. Weller, I'm sure so far that I've never heard anything on the subject afore this moment. If I makes any guess about it, apostrophe added Sam, looking at Mr. Winkle, I haven't got any right to say what it is, fear it should be a wrong un. Apostrophe, I have no right to make any further inquiry into the private affairs of a friend, however intimate a friend, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, after a short silence. At present let me merely say that I do not understand this at all. There. We have had quite enough of the subject. Apostrophe, thus expressing himself, Mr. Pickwick led the conversation to different topics, and Mr. Winkle gradually appeared more at ease, though still very far from being completely so. They had all so much to converse about that the morning very quickly passed away, and when, at 3 o'clock, Mr. Weller produced upon the little dining table a roast leg of mutton and an enormous meat pie, with sundry dishes of vegetables, and pots of porter, which stood upon the chairs or the sofa bedstead, or where they could, everybody felt disposed to do justice to the meal, notwithstanding that the meat had been purchased, and dressed, and the pie made, and baked, at the prison cookery hard by. To these succeeded a bottle or two of very good wine, for which a messenger was dispatched by Mr. Pickwick to the Horn Coffee House, in Doctor's Commons. The bottle or two, indeed, might be more properly described as a bottle or six, for by the time it was drunk, and tea over, the bell began to ring for strangers to withdraw. But, if Mr. Winkle's behavior had been unaccountable in the morning, it became perfectly unearthly and solemn when, under the influence of his feelings, and his share of the bottle or six, he prepared to take leave of his friend. He lingered behind, until Mr. Tupman and Mr. Snodgrass had disappeared, and then fervently clenched Mr. Pickwick's hand, with an expression of face in which deep and mighty resolve was fearfully blended with the very concentrated essence of gloom. "Good night, my dear sir," said Mr. Winkle between his set teeth. "Bless you, my dear fellow," replied the warm-hearted Mr. Pickwick, as he returned the pressure of his young friend's hand. "Now then," cried Mr. Tupman from the gallery. "Yes, yes, directly," replied Mr. Winkle. "Good night," "good night," said Mr. Pickwick. There was another good night, and another, and half a dozen more after that, and still Mr. Winkle had fast hold of his friend's hand, and was looking into his face with the same strange expression. "Is anything the matter?" said Mr. Pickwick at last, when his arm was quite sore with shaking. "Nothing," said Mr. Winkle. "Well then, good night," said Mr. Pickwick, attempting to disengage his hand. "My friend, my benefactor, my honored companion," murmured Mr. Winkle, catching at his wrist. "Do not judge me harshly. Do not, when you hear that, driven to extremity by hopeless obstacles, I now then," said Mr. Tupman, reappearing at the door. "Are you coming, or are we to be locked in?"
"Yes, yes, I am ready," replied Mr. Winkle, and with a violent effort he tore himself away. As Mr. Pickwick was gazing down the passage after them in silent astonishment, Sam Weller appeared at the stairhead, and whispered for one moment in Mr. Winkle's ear. "Oh, certainly, depend upon me," said that gentleman aloud.
"Thank'ee, sir."
"You won't forget, sir?" said Sam.
"Of course not," replied Mr. Winkle.
"Wish you luck, sir," said Sam, touching his hat.
"I should very much like to join you, sir, but the governor, of course, is paramount."
"It is very much to your credit that you remain here," said Mr. Winkle. With these words they disappeared down the stairs.
"Very extraordinary," said Mr. Pickwick, going back into his room and seating himself at the table in a musing attitude. "What can that young man be going to do?"
He had sat ruminating about the matter for some time, when the voice of Roker, the turnkey, demanded whether he might come in.
"By all means," said Mr. Pickwick.
"I've brought you a softer pillow, sir," said Mr. Roker, "instead of the temporary one you had last night."
"Thank you," said Mr. Pickwick.
"Will you take a glass of wine?"
"You're very good, sir," replied Mr. Roker, accepting the proffered glass.
"Yours, sir."
"Thank you," said Mr. Pickwick. I'm sorry to say that your landlord's worry bad tonight, sir, apostrophe said Roker, setting down the glass and inspecting the lining of his hat preparatory to putting it on again.
What? The Chancery prisoner? Apostrophe exclaimed Mr. Pickwick.
He won't be a Chancery prisoner worry long, sir, apostrophe replied Roker, turning his hat round, so as to get the maker's name right side upwards, as he looked into it.
You make my blood run cold, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick.
What do you mean?
Apostrophe, he's been consumptive for a long time past, apostrophe said Mr. Roker, and he's taken worry bad in the breath tonight.
The doctor said, 6 months ago, that nothing but change of air could save him.
Apostrophe, great heaven!
Apostrophe, exclaimed Mr. Pickwick. Has this man been slowly murdered by the law for 6 months?
Apostrophe, I don't know about that, apostrophe replied Roker, weighing the hat by the brim in both hands.
I suppose he'd have been took the same, wherever he was.
He went into the infirmary this morning. The doctor says his strength is to be kept up as much as possible, and the warden sent him wine and broth and that, from his own house.
It's not the warden's fault, you know, sir.
Apostrophe, of course not, apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick hastily.
I'm afraid, however, apostrophe said Roker, shaking his head, that it's all up with him.
I offered Nettie 2 6-penn'orths to one upon it just now, but he wouldn't take it, and quite right.
Thank'ee, sir.
Good night, sir.
Apostrophe, stay, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick earnestly.
Where is this infirmary?
Apostrophe.
Gutenberg edition.
End of chapter.